Hey, this is Mike, and welcome to another installment in my In 5 Minutes or Less series, where I answer one common question quickly and simply, because while long-form content is great, sometimes it is also nice when someone just gets right to the point and tells you what to do and how to do it in 5 minutes or less. And that's what I do in these episodes. In this video slash podcast, I want to talk about visceral fat, which is a special type of belly, or I guess you could say abdominal fat, that not only looks bad, but actually can be dangerous to your health. Now, the word visceral means having to do with the organs, and especially the organs in the abdominal cavity. So visceral fat is fat that is stored around the organs in the abdominal cavity, like the liver, pancreas, and intestines. Visceral fat then is different than the type of fat that most people think of when they think of body fat, which is called subcutaneous fat. And subcutaneous means under the skin. So this is the fat that's all over our bodies, and it is more or less right beneath the skin. It's what wiggles and jiggles and what we are most concerned with getting rid of when we want to get lean. So when we bulk and cut, what we are changing mostly in terms of body fat is our subcutaneous fat levels and not our visceral fat levels. And that also applies to our belly fat. So as we see our stomachs shrink and expand, what we are seeing mostly is changes in subcutaneous fat, not visceral fat. Visceral fat, of course, is involved, but not nearly as much as subcutaneous fat, because it is harder to both gain and lose. Visceral fat also differs from subcutaneous fat in its physiological impact on the body. So subcutaneous fat per se is not unhealthy. Of course, if you have too much subcutaneous fat, if you get simply too fat, it becomes unhealthy. But subcutaneous fat is actually a vital part of your body's endocrine system. It plays a role in hormone production, like for example, the hormone leptin, which plays an important role in regulating the metabolism, and actually many things in the body is produced by subcutaneous fat. And if you lose too much subcutaneous fat, if you get too lean, eventually you die. Now, with visceral fat, you want to have as little as possible, basically, because research shows that higher levels of visceral fat is associated with an increased risk for various diseases like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and dyslipidemia, which is the presence of an abnormally high amount of lipids in the blood. So, you know, cholesterol, triglycerides, and so forth. Scientists are still working out why this is exactly, but one hypothesis that is gaining ground in clinical research is that the visceral fat, it produces fatty acids and various pro-inflammatory chemicals, and because of how close it is to the portal vein, which takes blood to the liver, these chemicals find their way to the liver and then can cause problems. Like for example, the lipids can accumulate in the liver, and then that can lead to various health issues. Subcutaneous fat, on the other hand, produces more beneficial than harmful chemicals. So for example, I mentioned leptin earlier, which is a hormone that impacts the metabolism favorably. It impacts appetite favorably. It tells your body that it's fed, tells your body it has an abundance of energy. Subcutaneous fat also produces a hormone called adiponectin, which is involved in the breakdown of glucose and fatty acids into energy. I mentioned earlier that you can't pinch or grab visceral fat because it's beneath the abdominal wall. It's beneath the big core muscles that then the skin is on top of and the subcutaneous fat is on top of. So that's why you see it mostly in guys where you'll have like a beer belly, that, you know, a big stomach that is kind of hard. There isn't that much fat to grab on it. That's an instance of a lot of visceral fat. So if you are curious, if you have too much visceral fat, there's a simple little test you can do. You can take a tape measure and measure your waist at your navel. And if you are a woman and your waist is 35 inches or greater, then you probably have more visceral fat than you want to have. And if you are a man, that number is about 40 inches. Now, if you have too much visceral fat and you're curious as to why, how did you get there? Or if you don't have too much visceral fat and you want to know how to not get there, there are several factors in play that ultimately determine how your body stores body fat. Genetics are in play, hormones are in play, age matters, activity level matters, and possibly even birth weight actually. Research shows that people that are born smaller, lower birth rates, may have a higher propensity to gain belly fat in particular as they get older. So as far as genetics go, studies show that certain genes may be associated with increased abdominal fatness, which would include visceral fat to some degree, just because that's how it is. As your body fat levels rise and as your belly fat levels rise, a certain percentage of that is going to be visceral fat. As far as age goes, as people get older, they tend to move less, they tend to lose muscle, which of course then increases their risk for weight gain and obesity. And with that comes increased visceral fat. As far as hormones go, you will see this frequently with postmenopausal women. Research shows that they tend to store more visceral fat because of the hormonal changes, and that's primarily because estrogens decrease, and that can lead to an increase in visceral fat storage. Hey, quickly, before we carry on, if you are liking my podcast, would you please help spread the word about it? Because no amount of marketing or advertising gimmicks can match the power of word of mouth. So if you are enjoying this episode and you think of someone else who might enjoy it as well, please do tell them about it. It really helps me. And if you are going to post about it on social media, definitely tag me so I can say thank you. You can find me on Instagram at Muscle for Life Fitness, Twitter at Muscle for Life, and Facebook at Muscle for Life Fitness. Now, as far as diet and lifestyle, things we can control, studies show that high fat diets are generally associated with higher levels of body fat, not lower levels. And if you want to fact check me on that, you can find the references in the description. If you're watching this on YouTube, in the description down below. But high fat diets are generally associated with higher body fat levels and higher BMIs than lower fat diets. And the fatter someone is, the more visceral fat they will inevitably have. So therefore, high fat diets can increase the risk of having too much visceral fat. It doesn't have to, because if you know what you're doing in terms of energy balance, how you work your macros is not really going to have much of an impact on your body composition. But remember, most people don't know anything about energy balance, and many high fat foods are hyper palatable, so they're very easy to overeat, and of course they contain a lot of calories. Also, sedentary living of course increases the risk of weight gain and obesity, and with that comes an increase in visceral fat. Alcohol also can increase visceral fat storage. Research shows that. So that means that there is something to the beer belly phenomenon. The more alcohol you drink, the more likely you are to have higher than average levels of visceral fat. The trans fats are preferentially stored as visceral fat, which probably is one of the reasons why they are extremely unhealthy, and why researchers at this point say that you want to have basically as little trans fat in your diet as possible. And again, these are artificial, these are man-made fats. So when you see highly processed foods that contain stuff like partially hydrogenated oils, for example, those are trans fats. And they increase the shelf life of foods. That's primarily why they're used, but they also increase palatability. If you want to learn more about trans fats and just dietary fat in general, head over to muscleforlife.com, search for dietary fat, and you'll see an article that I wrote that is called, I think if I remember correctly, How Many Grams of Fat You Should Eat Per Day, and it breaks this all down. So when we take age and hormones and genetics out of the picture, and we look at the stuff that we can directly control, our diet and lifestyle, we can see that the recipe for visceral fat gain is doing very little exercise, eating too much food, eating too many crappy foods, highly processed foods that contain trans fats in particular, and drinking alcohol regularly. That's the recipe for disaster for many reasons, not just visceral fat, but I would say on overall health, that's how you ask for disease, basically. All right, so let's wrap up with a quick little summary of how to lose visceral fat. And the good news here is, despite all of its menacing health implications, studies do show that it yields pretty easily to standard fat loss protocols. So as long as you are burning more energy than you're consuming, you will lose visceral fat regardless of your genetics or age or hormones or anything else. Now, if you want to speed up the process, there are a few things you can do. One, you can cut out trans fats completely from your diet, which you should do anyway, just for your general health and longevity. And if you're not sure what kind of foods contain trans fats, just hit Dr. Google and search for foods that contain trans fats and just don't eat any of those foods. You also want to make sure that you are not drinking too much alcohol. Ideally, you would just cut it out altogether, at least while you are working on losing the visceral fat. But if that's not an option for whatever reason, then you should know that studies show that while drinking frequency doesn't seem to affect visceral fat levels all that much, drinking intensity does. So what that means then is the more you drink each time you drink, the harder it is going to be for you to lose visceral fat. Another tip is to do resistance training because not only is it good for fat loss and obviously improving your body composition, studies show that it is also extremely effective at reducing visceral fat in particular. Next tip is to do high intensity interval training because similarly, not only is it just more efficient in terms of time for fat burning, you lose more fat in less time. Studies show that it is particularly good for losing abdominal fat and visceral fat in particular, and probably because, at least partially, because of increased blood flow to the abdominal region. Another little interesting point here is that research shows that's true regardless of whether you are reducing your total fat mass or not. So even if you're not decreasing your overall body fat percentage, if you are doing aerobic activity and in particular high intensity aerobic activity regularly, you are just going to store less visceral fat and just have less visceral fat. So in a way, what it does is it promotes a healthier distribution of body fat in your body. Now, as far as hormones go, of course, they can't cause you to gain fat. In the end, you can only increase your total fat mass or your total amount of visceral fat by overeating. However, your hormone profile does influence how your body stores the fat that it does have. For example, studies show that low testosterone is a predictor for visceral fatness in men, and that as testosterone levels rise, visceral fatness decreases. And in women, when you have higher amounts of testosterone and lower amounts of estrogen, which is what occurs during menopause, that is associated with increased visceral fatness. Now, unfortunately, as far as hormones go, there aren't any quick and easy fixes if you have some sort of hormonal imbalance, except for exogenous hormones, of course. So except for hormones that you inject or otherwise introduce into your body. But as far as men and testosterone goes, if you want to learn more about how to, optimize your body's testosterone levels naturally, head over to legionathletics.com, search for testosterone. You'll see a long article that I wrote on just that. And for women, unfortunately, I actually don't have a long form piece for women right now for as far as hormones go, but that'd be a good one to write actually. I'm gonna make a note. I should put that together. Sorry, coming soon. Another little tip for maximizing visceral fat loss and minimizing visceral fat gain is to keep your cortisol levels under control. So cortisol is a catabolic hormone. It breaks substances down in the body, and it is produced primarily in response to stress. So when you have, whether it's physical stress or psychological stress, cortisol levels rise. And again, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. Acute spikes in cortisol can be helpful. So like when you exercise, your cortisol levels spike and it helps your body break body fat down into energy, for example. But when you have chronically elevated cortisol levels, that can cause various types of problems in the body. And one of them has to do with body fat distribution, because studies show that chronically elevated cortisol levels skews your body's distribution of fat toward the abdominal region. So by keeping your cortisol levels generally low, you can, again, maximize visceral fat loss if you are working on losing visceral fat that you have, and minimizing visceral fat gain if you don't have a visceral fat problem now and don't want to have one in the future. And the last tip here is another good kind of just general health and general well-being tip, and that is to maintain good sleep hygiene, because research shows that both sleeping too little and too much too frequently can increase visceral fatness. And just to be specific there, what science has found is that there was an association between sleeping less than 5 hours per night on average and more than 8 hours per night on average with greatly increased visceral fatness. Hey there, it is Mike again. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found it interesting and helpful. And if you did and don't mind doing me a favor and want to help me make this the most popular health and fitness podcast on the internet, then please leave a quick review of it on iTunes or wherever you're listening from. This not only convinces people that they should check the show out, it also increases its search visibility and thus helps more people find their way to me and learn how to build their best bodies ever too. And of course, if you want to be notified when the next episode goes live, then just subscribe to the podcast and you won't miss out on any of the new goodies. Lastly, if you didn't like something about the show, then definitely shoot me an email at mike@muscleforlife.com and share your thoughts on how you think it could be better. I read everything myself and I'm always looking for constructive feedback, so please do reach out. All right, that's it. Thanks again for listening to this episode, and I hope to hear from you soon. And lastly, this episode is brought to you by me. Seriously though, I'm not big on promoting stuff that I don't personally use and believe in, so instead, I'm going to just quickly tell you about something of mine. Specifically, my fitness book for men, Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. Now, this book has sold over 350,000 copies in the last several years and helped thousands and thousands of guys build their best bodies ever, which is why it currently has over 3,100 reviews on Amazon with a 4.5-star average. So if you want to know the biggest lies and myths that are keeping you from achieving the lean, muscular, strong, and healthy body that you truly desire, and if you want to learn the simple science of building the ultimate male body, then you want to read Bigger, Leaner, Stronger, which you can find on all major online retailers like Amazon, Audible, iTunes, Kobo, and Google Play. Now, speaking of Audible, I should also mention that you can get the audiobook 100% free when you sign up for an Audible account, which I highly recommend that you do if you're not currently listening to audiobooks. I love them myself because they let me make the time that I spend doing stuff like commuting, prepping food, walking my dog, and so forth so much more valuable and productive. So if you want to take Audible up on this offer and get my book for free, then simply go to bit.ly/freebls. And that will take you to Audible. And then you just click the sign up today and save button, create your account, and voila, you get to listen to Bigger, Leaner, Stronger for free.